have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Yes, well, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord tonight. You better open up your mouth and say something. Did y'all just not hear what that song said? Open your mouth and say something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are elated to be back on the line with you on this Tuesday night. We give God all the praise, all the glory, all the honor, because he alone deserves it. Amen. Listen, I need to open up my mouth and say something. Sometimes we go through and we just, you know, we don't say anything. Sometimes you got people that see things happening, bad things that are happening to people. And instead of them voicing their opinions, you know, not saying that you're getting anybody's business, but your one voice can change a whole nation if you would just speak up. So sometimes, you know, you got to stop looking at it. Well, it's not my problem. It should be. You should be your brother's keeper. You should be your sister's keeper. And if you see them going through something, you ought to open up your mouth and say something about it. Amen. Hallelujah. So listen, tonight I am going to slow it down a whole lot. Amen. I do give God honor. Amen, because he is Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider tonight, but I want to even go a little bit further. I want to call him Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth, because he keeps on doing great things for me. Amen. Glory to God. We want to honor Dr. Kimmy Kim tonight and the Elation family. Amen. We honor Bishop James Hunter tonight. Hallelujah. And the Forever Flowing Ministries family. Yes, while y'all going on, y'all let your neighbors know I'm on tonight. Amen. Let them know that I'm here. Amen. Let them know I'm here. And there is a word from the Lord. Now, listen, last week I wasn't feeling my best. Tonight I'm not feeling my best. But how many of you know that some of us leaders do come on the job, clock in and clock out, sick? A lot of times, I believe if you can go on somebody else's job and work and be sick, you ought to be able to go to the Lord and hear a word or give the word. Amen. Hallelujah. It works both ways. So I do honor him tonight. I'll sleep and rest when I get to heaven. But right now, I got to work while it is day. For when night comes, no man can work. Amen. So we want to give God all that belongs to him. Everything that's due him, don't you leave a crumb out. Give God what he is, because he is worthy of all of that and then some. Amen. So I want y'all to go ahead and let them know that I'm here tonight. And we're going to go ahead and pray us on in so that we can obtain mercy from the Lord. Amen. So, Father, we thank you tonight for giving us this opportunity. We don't take it for granted. We give you glory, oh God, for all the things that you have in store for us. We thank you tonight, God, for being such a mind regulator tonight, God. You not only are you a mind regulator, oh God, but you're a promise keeper. You're a secret keeper. Yes, Lord, you are so many awesome things that we want you to be. That's who you are. Think that we need you to be. That's who you are. And we just thank you tonight, Father. So tonight, as we go into this word, as we dive into this word, we ask that you would open up our minds to be able to receive and hearts to receive, to think what you want us to know through your word. Lord God, we thank you that the word, your word, this is you, God, and in the word, you are the word. And we thank you tonight as we dive in. Lord, we give you glory tonight. We give you honor and we give you praise. Amen, amen, amen. Listen, people of God, we're going to go into our Bibles. And we're coming from a very familiar book. Amen. We're going in a bit in the beginning of the book. Well, part of the beginning. Let me just go ahead and give God glory. Let me give a testimony. On last Thursday, I had went into the hospital, had some outpatient surgery done, right? And you know, I'm supposed to be down maybe for a week or two. You know, however, you can't keep a person that has purpose and destiny tied to their names. You can't keep them down. I began to on Saturday. I said, well, nobody's in the house. My daughter was there. She was asleep. I said, I'm going to go ahead and start feeling my way back into my kitchen, you know. And then I prepared a couple of dishes. Usually I prepare maybe about 8 different dishes for 2 days, something like that. Because when I fix food, I'm not just fixing for my family. I fix for other people as well. And so, you know, I knew that I wasn't supposed to go in there and start doing any work yet. But I went on in it anyway with my bad self, right? So, you know, I was feeling good about doing it. You know, I was feeling good about it. And I was thanking the Lord all the way, because if it wasn't him that was pushing me and giving me the drive, I wouldn't have had it, right? In our weakness, that's where God is made strong. And so I was getting the strength. I was pulling on his strength. And even in the midst of that, like I said, I fixed a couple of little dishes and, I went to bed early, trying to do a little something. I got up Sunday morning. After getting out the prayer line, I fixed maybe two more items that I wanted to cook, and then that was it. You know, I wasn't going to church Sunday. Said I wasn't going to go to myself. And my husband said, well, honey, you going to church? And I said, well, he asked me about church. I'm going to go ahead and go. Because I hadn't told anyone that I wasn't going. I just didn't say anything. But I pushed myself to go to church. I was glad I was there, because I'm telling you, I don't know about anybody else, but when I get into the presence of the Lord, I'm telling you, I don't care what I got going on. It leads me. I don't bring it in the house. I don't bring it in the house of God, my problems, like that, bringing all my problems to weigh down the weight of the world and all that's on my shoulders. I don't bring that in to the house of God. I give it to God. But when I come into his house, I want to worship him. I want to get in his presence. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got time for no foolishness. I came there to get something. Amen. And when I go there to get something, I expect to come out of there with something more than what I had when I entered. And so I was just grateful to be able to go and that God allowed me to go. And, they kept stirring up my spirit, and I was like trying to hold myself down. And I just, sometimes you just can't hold your peace. And, honey, I just was real excited in Jesus and pushed myself on home, made a stop or two. Did some few things, a little walk to the distance I wasn't supposed to do. And then let me tell you, I felt it before I could get home. I was like planning out my shower time. And I said, forget then, I'm going to bed. I knew I was already hurt. I knew what time it was. But, I was determined that I was going to go to the house of the Lord. And anything else, I would deal with it when it shows up. And that's where we got to be. We got to be determined, come hell or high water, I'm going to serve God. Though they slay me, yet I'm going to trust God. I may be feeling bad in my body. Mentally, it may be bad, but I'm telling you, I'm going to press my way in, because I understand that there is something that's on the other side. If I could just get to the other side, I know that I'll be all right. And so I'm glad that I pressed. But I paid for it at night. I ain't going to even lie. You talk about some hurting, but it's okay, because if I had to do it over again, I would do the same thing. So I just want to encourage you. There are a lot of quitters out here, and a lot of people are quitting on God. They're quitting on themselves. And, it's sad to see people just give up. Don't give, the things that we treasure the most, sometimes are not even worth it. You treasuring a house that's about to fall in, and you don't have any money to fix it. You can't get a loan to fix it. Won't nobody loan you the money to fix it. And then, but you treasuring that piece of junk. When the Father says, I got to listen, oh, Lord, have mercy. When he even talks about that the houses that he had for you, that he went to prepare a place for you, he got mansions. Listen, you ain't even got to plow the grass, the land. You don't have to plow anything. It's already made for you, but you don't want to do what it takes to get there. But you rather fight, you rather die for a piece of something that you can't take with you. There's no investment in it, but that's what you're fighting for. We have our priorities, amen, in the wrong place. And so it's our job to make sure that we look at the picture, the bigger picture. What are you valuing? What are you putting your value, your interest in? What are you putting interest into something that is not going to give you a return? Or are you putting more interest in something, amen, that someday will give you a return? I'm trying to tell you, we just, I say you play too much, because a lot of people are grown, and we are still acting like children. If an average fifth grader, if they anywhere got their mind on business, can tell you that this is a bad deal, you need to take that other plan that God got for you, the one that he's preparing a mansion for you, is already prepared. All you got to do is meet him, and you mean to tell me you wouldn't want that versus living in a shack? Come on, somebody. My Lord. But tonight we are going into the book of Exodus. You have your Bibles. Go into the book of Exodus. I know you may be hearing my voice crack. You may even be hearing my sinuses a little bit. I have just a few things going on. But to God be the glory, I'm here tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to begin to go in Exodus, the fourth chapter. Exodus 4. And we're going to begin to read at verse 1. And it says, "And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord have not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from, he fled from before it," right? Verse 4, "And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand." Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to read verse 5. "That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob had appeared unto thee." So here it is. The Lord is talking with Moses. We see here, just like a lot of us, when God gives us an assignment or a mandate, we begin to want to run first. We don't even listen to the mandate or the assignment first. And you know how people are talking about, well, you didn't understand the assignment. Well, I guess you won't understand the assignment when you're too busy running from what God has called you to do. Amen. And so God had given him an assignment. But as just like with us, what do we do when God gives you an assignment? What do we do when the preacher say that there's an anointing on your life? There's an anointing to preach. There's an anointing to teach. Or you got the gift to sing. Or you got the gift to do this or do that. We run, right? Why do we run? Well, sometimes you run because you don't feel adequate enough. Another reason why you probably run is because you know you out there living in sin and you ain't ready to live for God. So you run. Another reason could very well be because you know you're living in sin. You know you're not right. You don't feel like you'll ever get right to come to God. And you'll say, well, when I get myself together, then I'll come. But can I help you out tonight? You'll never be together enough to come to God. That's why he said, come as you are. You got to come as you are and let him meet you right where you are so that he'll be the one to get you straight. He'll be the one to get you where you need to be. Amen. Not man. He'll use man to get you in these places, but it'll be through God. Amen. Yes, God not coming down here doing anything else. Everything he did was already done, so it's past tense. Anything that's going to happen now in the earth realm, God is using us, his chosen people, to get the job done, right? So we run. God telling you, I need you to go to Nineveh to preach. Well, I need you to go up to Bookmore Street. I need you to go over there to Atlanta to preach. Who, me? Not me. You must be talking to somebody else. We always tend to run. We always tend to act as if God didn't call us by name. We would be saying, Lord, you must be talking to Mary because you can't be talking to me. Or you got to be talking to somebody else because, Lord, I ain't hear you calling me. And you know you heard it. And just like with Moses, he objected. He said, God told him what to do. He objected to what God said. He said, listen, they won't trust me. Why they won't trust you, Moses? You look the part. You wasn't born into the sin that they were born in. You wasn't born into the born into being a slave like they were. When you were born, your mother put you in a basket and you flew up the river. She flew you up the river because she knew that perhaps, hallelujah, she had high hopes. She hoped in this thing. She had the faith to believe that if she put you in the basket and pushed you forward, that you would get picked up by somebody who had some money to be able to take care of you, to raise you, to give you a better life. That's why she did what she did. Now, I don't think she ever thought in a million years that she would be the one nurturing her son to help, the one to nurture her son on her breast. Amen. Where he got her milk. Come on here. Not nobody else. Not another woman, but his own mother. She was there to watch her child grow up. I don't think she thought that in a million years. I think that she just knew that somebody else could give him what she couldn't, and she didn't want them to take his life. So Moses grew up already being in key position. He already had a seat at the table. He already was in a place where he could help people. He already had clout. He already had a name that would give him access. He was already given access. He didn't have to look for access. Access was granted because he was considered now a king's kid. Y'all ain't gonna talk back to me tonight. Well, you don't have to beg for a seat at the table when you've already been given one. So he was able to make decisions. He was able to make choices. He was able to help those he wanted to help. He was able to keep some out of trouble without too many questions being asked. So as his own mother nurturing him, she's seeing the growth. She's able to impute in him godly principles, impute into him his real family background, not knowing that he didn't know who he really was at the time, right? He was a whole grown man before he started getting the picture, all right? He had an assignment. He didn't understand it all. Y'all don't understand all of your assignments. Some of you quit before you can even let your assignment come to fruition. Some of you quit before you can even finish the first assignment because you just, Lord have mercy. So he didn't understand it either, but he objected to it. Lord, that these folks ain't going, this ain't going to trust me. Now realize that yes, they were. Yes, they are. They were going to trust him because of who he belonged to. He belonged to God first. Then, again, he was a king's kid, right? So therefore, he had clout. His name meant something. So therefore, if you call on his name, then people knew who he was and who he belonged to, and you're not going to mess with him. So therefore, he had a reputation, not because of anything he did wrong, but a reputation because of his family. His family had a rapport in the kingdom. If you want to call it his grandfather, technically, he's not his grandfather, but because his daughter raised him, he pretty much was. But anywho, however you want to put it tonight, he didn't believe that the people would trust him. Some of you don't preach because you're too afraid of what they're going to say about your past. They called you a whore. You was a whore. You was. That's past tense. Was, meaning past tense. And they still talking about how you used to go down that pole. And because they talk about it, know about it, you don't want to preach to them because they know you had a past. So what? God's going to send you back to the same people you parted with, the same people you got drunk with, the same people you took stole their money from. He's going to send you to them people because you understand the assignment. Uh-oh. God is taking you back. He's going to send you back to where you was, the place he delivered you from. You going back to that place to deliver the people. Amen. So, Moses didn't like the fact, you know, how the people were mistreated in his growing up. He didn't like the fact. And they really tried to keep that part from him, but he would see the injustice. So he grew up being what you would call because he felt like he was inadequate. As with some of us, there's a lot of things he couldn't say because he felt like he had, you know, he had a speech impediment. So he felt like he couldn't speak clearly. So and God giving him an assignment, he telling him, listen, I got a stuttering problem. I can't speak that well. And God said, that's all right. Don't worry about that. I'm going to give you somebody that can speak very well. Huh? I'm going to give you somebody that can be, that can speak eloquent, so that you don't have to worry about how you're speaking, but that you just obey what I tell you to do. See, God don't care about our issues. He doesn't care about our flaws like we do. He doesn't care about our thorns in our flesh like we do. All he wants is our what? Obedience. Can somebody say obedience tonight? If you begin to just give God your obedience, he will take your flaw, your thorn in your flesh, your inadequacies, and he will make it his ability. He will show you what to do. He will show you how to do it. But some of you, I can't do it. I only have one arm. I only got one big toe, and I only got one foot. What does that big toe got to do with you walking and doing what God called you to do? Some of you say, well, I use it as I went to the Social Security office, and I told them I only have one toe, so they gave me disability. Well, okay, that's fine. They gave you disability. Maybe God wanted them to give you disability so you wouldn't have to worry about getting paid as you did what he called you to do. You were going to still get that check. Have you ever thought about it like that? Some of you are on disability, not because you really have a disability. You're on it because God's saying, well, some of you, because if you don't, you don't work for free, so I'm going on let you get that little check, let you think it's about something when I really got greater and more for you. And because your mind is so, that's because your mindset got to be renewed. We got to come on up off of this low-to-bar mind mentality. We got to come on up off of this poor man mentality, something that's been born in some of you. Some of you were born to think that you can never have. You were born to think that it wasn't right if you had more than somebody else. That's not, listen, it doesn't matter if you got more than somebody else. What matters is how you treat people that don't have. If, are you treating them equal or because they don't have? Are you treating, are looking down on them with your nose because they don't have? See, it's not the fact that God is not, does not, he doesn't, it's not his will that you don't have anything. He never said I wanted you to not to have. God wants you to live in the abundance. How can you live in abundance if you broke, busted, and disgusted? That's not living in abundance. Abundance is meaning you got more for yourself and enough for somebody else. Can I talk? Can y'all talk back to me tonight? Can y'all hear me? Or y'all listening to me? Abundance is having more than enough to pay your bills. But you got some more even to put up for yourself and some to go pay somebody else. God never intends for you to be stingy. That's why he keep talking about a cheerful giver. Look throughout the Bible. God loves people that give freely from their heart. See, he's looking at your heart. And if your stinky heart is so tight, boy, and he's looking at how you have a problem giving, that's why your finances, that's the problem you're going to have with the devil, too. And the two times you got a problem giving, that's where the enemy going to fight you the most. Oh, yes, you will. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. I know I'm right. Glory to God. So here it is. He's trying to tell, trying to be objective to God. He's trying to tell God why, what they going to do and all of this. So God said, what is that in your hand? He's talking about a staff. God told him to throw it on the ground, and he threw it and became a snake. He jumped back. Well, you said you had a speech problem. You didn't say you had a reflex problem. Because the speech problem, you probably couldn't have got out the word snake, but the reflex problem would have caused you to stay right there and let the snake bite you. But you didn't have that problem. So what now, Moses? God said to Moses, reach out and grab it by the tail. He reached out. He grabbed it and was holding his staff again. You see what I'm saying? God's proving. Not only is God trying to prove something to Moses, because that blew his mind. Come on here. You ain't going to tell me that wouldn't blow your mind. You holding a staff and turning to a snake, I'm going to throw it as far as I can throw it. You better hear what I'm saying. But then you tell me to pick it back up, I may tell you, now listen, God, I ain't sure about that thing. You're going to have to let it wrap on a stick instead of being in my hand or something. You know, I'd have been talking to God as much as I could. Because God does have a sense of humor. And then he said, so listen, God was telling him, he said, you know, the staff, you know, the rod became a staff again. And that so that would trust the God, you know what I'm saying, appear to you that the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So God said, put your hands inside your shirt. He slipped his hand under his shirt, then took it out. His hand had turned leprous. It looks like he had leprosy, for those of you who don't know what that means, and I know you do. Amen. So it looked like you had leprosy, right? And and I know he was scared about that too, right? And he said, put thine hand into the bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as one, as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, verse 8, if they will not believe thee, this is God talking to them, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Are y'all following me? Some of you want to know why? Okay. Y'all following me? All right. So he's trying to give him something to work with. Can we say that? God is trying to give Moses something to work with. Let me tell you something. Y'all want this, you want that, you want God to do this, you want him to do that, you want his hand, but you ain't giving God nothing to work with. Give God something to work with, meaning first your faith, meaning secondly your obedience. Give him something to work with. But Lord, I'm not sure about it, but Lord, I'm going to put a praise on it. Lord, I know you can do it. I've seen you do it for others, but I ain't sure you're going to do it for me. So Lord, I got to give you something to work with. So God, I'm going to plant a seed for what I'm asking for. See, y'all going to leave that part out. Mm-hmm. So, and so here it says, glory to God. It says, and so if they don't trust you and aren't convinced by the first sign, by the second sign, and they, you know, he says, take some water out of the Nile and pour it out on the dry land. And if they ain't convinced, now I'm going to make that land that's dry turn into blood. Y'all don't hear the word of the Lord. Moses said, he raised another objection to the God. He says, Master, please, I don't talk well. I've never been good with, oh, Lord, have mercy. Come on, some of you do that to God right now. God tell you to pray, Father, I don't pray well. And that's me. I mean, I can pray to God, but I didn't think that I was a prayer, an intercessor that can really pray. I know that when I pray, God moves. So I know God will move when I pray, but I'm not one that, I've heard some folks that can show up, throw down in prayer. And I don't meet a third of that, you know. So, you know, the apostle just telling you 100. I know how to pray to God. I know how to talk to my Father. But, you know, I've heard some people that pray so that you just want to hear more of them pray. That's how I am about others and not when it comes to myself. Moses said unto the Lord, Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. He says, I'm not eloquent. Why would you think that he would use the word eloquent? Because he lived in a castle. He had maids. He had servants, man servants, maid servants. He had, you know, all kinds of servants. So you would have thought that because he lived in such a place that they would have been working on his English or whatever he spoke. Amen. His Hebrew. They would have been working on it, right? But again, he's saying, He's slow of speech. And I could possibly believe because he's slow of speech, he was a very quiet person. Come on, follow me. He didn't talk much because he felt like he had a disability. He felt like he had a issue. He felt like he had a flaw. He felt like people looked at him when he talked, and people laughed at him because he stuttered. He felt like nobody wanted to listen to him because he couldn't get it all out in a sentence. He had to say it by 4 or 5 times before it all came out. And so he was picked on. I can imagine the reason why he didn't do it, because in walking through the town, when he was able to sneak through there, because, you know, he wasn't allowed to go certain places because he had servants, right? And so when kids would come by there and look at him, and somebody would say, my daddy said he talked this way, my mama said it. And so they would pick, you know how children do. So he had no business walking by him no way in the part of the town that they were in no way, because he was supposed to be, you know, where they had him. So kids will make fun, right? And so grown people make fun. so that I can imagine him never being a big talker. I can imagine him just always looking serious because he really probably didn't make friends because of his speech impediment. That's just like us right now. When you think fine, you know, some think fine people are not as secure of themselves as I am, and so they tend to not get in with the in crowd. Because they, you know, feel like people watching them. So what if they thinking you fine? They just jealous, honey, because you got meat on your bones and they don't have them on theirs. Come on. Hallelujah. Y'all got to start not looking at, you know, always because of what you may feel like is a setback or something that, you know, people look look down on. You got to stop thinking that. They don't. There is somebody that will love you just for who you are. There are a group of people that wish that you were in their circle. You don't need those people that look down on you, but you got to know who you are and stop, pointing the finger at yourself as something is wrong with you. If you think that don't mean nothing wrong with you, come on. There are some thick, healthy people. Y'all better hear me. Amen. So God made us all. He didn't make everybody skinny, right? You got some skinny folk and they bad built. Y'all better hear me. So when they throw off on you being bad built, they like, listen, at least I'm thick, fine, and bad built. But what about you? Well, you don't even have to even do that because we don't go tit for tat and we don't stoop to their level. Because you can tell when a person have class. Either they got class or they no class or they wish they had some class. But when they got class, they don't act like that. But when those who think they're better than you, they do act like that. So you just got to know what type of people, you know, that you want to associate yourself with and those that you shouldn't even give them an opportunity to even be their friend. Because some people don't even deserve your space is what I'm trying to say. Amen. So, you know, here it goes with this. Well, you know, telling the Lord, God knows our problems. He knows our issues. He knows that thorn. And that thorn is something that you don't think nobody knows. That thorn is something that you have kept hidden for 20 plus years. That thorn is some things that in your flesh that, you know, wouldn't nobody know this but God and you and the person sometimes that you have allowed to find out. But that thorn is a thing that bothers you, it nags at you. You think you've gotten rid of it. You think you got delivered from it. And it just be right there to let you know you didn't get delivered. But you can be, you can live a delivered life. You just keep repenting for, not for the same thing, but keep putting it under the blood is what I'm saying. Put that thorn under the blood, because if you've already asked God to forgive you, if God has forgiven you, you got to forgive yourself. That's why you don't ever you keep it. Hold on to it as longer than what you should, because you're not forgiving yourself. But then he goes to say, and the Lord said unto him, who have made man's mouth? Oh, yes, Lord. Ask yourself that. Why are you worried about other folks and how they feel about you? Who made their mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deep? Come on here, somebody. Talk back to me, church. Or the seeing or the blind. Have not I the Lord? Come on, he asking a question. Didn't I do it? Didn't I give them the thorn in the flesh? Didn't I make them the way that they are? So why y'all worried about what folks say about how you look? Truth be told, a lot of them buying bodies. You think fine and you ain't had to buy no booty pants. Come on here. You ain't had to buy no extra derriere going under the knife, not knowing if you're going to make it or not. You ought to thank God that your breasts are real and they ain't bursting on you with that whatever that silicone or whatever they got up in there. You ought to thank God. My. Hallelujah. My God. While you out here letting them shame you, they need to be shamed. Because you ought to be glad with the woman that you are and the man that you are. You got men now going and getting a 360. What is it? Is it a 360? Lord have mercy. Whatever it is, they getting a BBL and a BBD too. Huh? Yes, sir. Yes, they are. They getting that stuff, the fat taken out of their stomach, adding it to their derriere. Now, why? Lord have mercy. Why would a man want to add? Anyway, we're going to move it on. We're moving on. Now, therefore, go, and I say, I'm in verse 12. Now, therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Y'all listen to yourself. Y'all, for those of you who say, well, God didn't call me. He called my sister. God called you too. You know God calling you. You just don't want to do it because you got a problem. You got an issue. You got a whatever you want to call it. You got it, and you don't want to do it because of that. Let me tell you something. Do you realize there are some of us been thick fine, not as thick as we are now, forever and a day. And so you mean to tell me we got to stop being thick fine and do what God called us to do until we get skinny? We got to wait till we get skinny to do what God calls us. What if it was never in his plan that we'd be skinny? What if he only meant for us to be thick fine? Y'all, come on now. Who made us? Who made us? Our creator made us in his image. So when people want to look down on you because you're your size, and here they go, always, every time you talk to them, or when y'all praying together when in a group, they want to always talk about obesity. And then, but I say, well, if you're going to talk about obesity, because I started, they were picking on one particular person. And I say, well, if you're going to talk about obesity, then you need to talk about, what's the other word I'm looking for? Oh, it's right on my tongue. Holy Spirit going to bring it to my remembrance. But what I'm trying to say is when you eat food, but you're throwing it back up, that kind of person. Why you gonna talk about them both, all right? Because the thick person that you messing with, this woman, she may be thick, and you making her feel bad, and you causing her to have low self-esteem when God brought her out. Now God got to do the work all over again because of what you said to her. And so she, Lord have mercy, but I try to tell these women, I don't care what people say. You are fearfully, wonderfully, marvelously made in God's image. And you healthy. This woman was healthy. Is the word bulimic? Okay. I just heard it in the spirit, so I'm going to stay right there. And then here you are with your skinny self and tell me how much you run. But you got all kind of health issues. You running because you got health issues. You're not running to maintain your weight. You're running because you're sick. The doctor said you got to lose more weight for this and that. You got all kind of health problems. So don't let folks pick on you or try to pull out what they think is your thorn, because that may not be your thorn. They don't even know it. You could have been molested, and molestation could be your thorn in your flesh. Come on here, that you can't overcome because it was a family member. Truth be told, it was your daddy. And see, they don't understand why you can't get over that. But see, they want to harp on you because you got a little weight. That weight came because you begin to regress or suppress your memory, and you begin to not think about it, and everything else, you can begin to gain weight because you had an eating problem. You begin to eat. Eating will help you feel better. Comfort food is what they call that. So they don't know that, and they don't need to know it. So they picking on you, but honey, you healthy. So you keep smiling. You keep growing. And even with that, God is going to deliver in every area. God is chiseling away right now at your issue, at your thorn. Hallelujah. But when we begin to obey God, people, and when you start obeying God, your thorn begins to disappear. When you begin to obey God, it's almost time for me to close this Bible, but I'm going to say this. When you begin to obey God, God deals with your issues. Listen, the Lord asked Moses, he says, what is in thine hand? He said, I want you to use what's in thine hand. So tonight, if I can leave a word with you, God wants you to use what's in your hand. Honey, you better take what's in your hand. Take the cord that God has dealt you. Take the cord that light threw at you, and you use it. Come on here to make a better you. You need use it to draw a better you. You use it to do whatever you need to do to be a better you. I don't care what they say about you. Let it go, Shai. It doesn't have to be true. Come on here. God say, what is in your hand? You may be thick thighs, but you got a pretty face. You got a beautiful voice. Use your voice to speak the truth. Use your voice to bring yourself up out of poverty. Use your voice to get you up out of situations that you allowed your old self to get into, but now you're coming out because you're using what's in your hand. Man, what's in your hand? You got a good eye for business, but you just don't have all the know-it-all. You can't read that well, but God will send somebody to read to you. God will honor the Messiah. All you got to do is hear it, and you got it. So God said, use what's in your hand. Pick up that hammer. Pick up that pencil. Begin to draw. We need some architects. We need more African-American architects. six. Use what you got till you get what you want. Stop complaining, people of God, that you ain't got this and you ain't got that. God say, what's in your hand? Whatever it is that's in your hand. He said, didn't I? He asked you a question. Didn't I, the Lord your God, made it? Didn't I made it to be so? Didn't I give it to you? So what are you worried about? What now? You ain't got a reason to complain is what he's saying. That's why he asked the question, didn't I do it? Didn't I, God, do this? Come on, people of God, didn't I? Didn't I make it? Didn't I touch it? Didn't I create it? So why are you worried? Use what's in your hand. Stop complaining. Stop murmuring. Stop looking at the white man, blaming him for everything. He got his, listen, the white man and woman gonna pay for every deed that they've done. Oh yes, they are. And the red man too, the orange man too, the green man, and even the black man, gonna pay for every deed that he ever done to you. But what I'm trying to tell you is stop blaming others. Look at you. What did God give you to work with? Use what you got to you so you can get what you want. Come on here. Use what's in your hand. God has given all of us gifts, talents. Some of you sitting on it. Some of you sitting on it. And the moment somebody next to you start using it, then you want to talk down on them. Don't talk down on them because you ain't doing nothing. You ain't doing nothing in the church. You ain't doing nothing outside the church. Stop complaining when we get together and we begin to pray in the city. People, one lady said to me something, says, we need prayer in our cities. What can I do? I want to help the city. Well, she's not in a part of my city, but she, you know, I've been praying for some grandchildren and children. God has been moving in their family. And so, but what they need to do is, though, those that are, because see, you can't really do nothing in a city if you ain't got some people praying. Now, if you get some people that really praying and showing up and get a prayer through to God, it's a lot can change in the city. I don't care how much the devil gets in the young people and make them do certain things. I don't care. Listen, the Bible say one can chase 1,000 to flight, but two can chase 10,000. And God said, whatever you got in your hand, use it for the glory of God. If you would just obey, if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall you be going out. Blessed shall be your coming in. I'm trying to tell you tonight, God said, use what's in your hand. And oh, just obey. Stop stuttering. Stop playing. Stop procrastinating. Some of you are some of the biggest procrastinators, and that's a thorn that's in your flesh. Your friends may not know about you. You're a procrastinator. You talk a good game, but you don't have no actions behind it. Faith without work is dead. Use what's in your hand tonight. That is the word of the Lord. I hope that you are all blessed by the word of the Lord. So right now, we're getting ready to go onto the phone lines. Amen. When you come on, give us your name, city, and state. Let me know where you're chiming in from. Thank you all for being on with me tonight. Amen. Dr. Kimmy Kim, let's open up these phone lines. Hallelujah. Good evening, caller. You're on the air with the apostle.
Good evening, Apostle Dr. Sylvia Hunter. Good evening. Thank you for that message this evening. God bless you for that word. We needed it. Thank you. Thank
God
you.
Bless you. God bless you.
And this is Minister KB from the Brookhaven area. In Jesus' holy name.
Amen. The Lord said, use what you got in your hand.
Use what you got. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
No. I'm not saying, I'm just not literally saying that to you. I'm saying
Amen.
That to you because you one that he's talking to. You got some things in your hand that you ain't using your tools. God wants you to sharpen your tools. Sharpen the things that he's given you already. And stop just singing it behind the fact and get on and start singing it for real. The things that you're praying and believing God for, God said, I want you to use what's in your hand. You got a, listen, to be honest, woman of God, you got a millionaire a plan in your hand, but you just ain't using it. And if you don't become that millionaire, there ain't going to be nobody to fault but yours. It's time for you to reach millionaire status.
Amen.
And it is not Amen. Out of your reach. You know why it seems out of your reach? Because of the way sometimes people upbringing, the way some people been taught. But other than that, it's not out of your reach. Ain't not out of none of our reach. All of us, it's time for all of us. It's a new season. It's a new day. Hey, shout out to thank you for calling in tonight. I'm going to get on up off of that. I love you. God bless you. Have a good one.
I love you more. Thank you.
Amen.
You too.
God bless you. Hallelujah. Caller, you're on the air with the apostle.
Good evening, Apostle Dr. Sylvia Hanna. This is Mr. Emma from Brookhaven, Mississippi. And I enjoyed the word that you just brought to us. And I needed that. I needed to hear that. So I thank the Lord for using you, putting that in your spirit to read for to his children in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Use what you got. It's in your
Amen.
Hand. Man, and I thank God because there were some things you gave to God personally, and you said you wanted to do better this area, that area, and God began to move for you because you asked. Amen. So you use what you had. God, that's all he wanted us to do is use what we got and stop making it. That's such a hard thing. Is there anything too hard for God?
No.
Nothing. When we give God our disabilities, then he makes it his ability, and he began to do the great work in us. Amen. Hallelujah. So I thank God for you on tonight. I thank God for you joining me on tonight. God bless you, woman of God. God really want God to really bless you indeed. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, and God bless you too. And I love you.
Love you more. Be encouraged.
Yes, ma'am. Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Good evening, caller. You're on the air with the apostle.
Good evening. This is Ronnie calling in from Cleveland, Ohio. How you doing?
Good evening. I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine. Great word on tonight.
Amen. 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 Use what's in your hands. A lot of times we don't sit down and think about what's in our hands. We be looking like, well, I only have a couple hundred dollars. But that's not all in your hand. You know, look at the gifts that God has given you. Look at the talents that God has given you. You know, do you not know one idea, creative idea, can cause you to go from just being poverty level to billionaire status? And I'm serious, overnight. We don't look like it. We don't think it can happen to us, but it can. When we start believing God for big, big B-I-G, and that's just average, we'll see greater God move. But I love you on tonight. Thank you so much for joining me, tuning in on this broadcast.
Love you.
All right, stay encouraged. Hallelujah. Good evening, caller. You on the air with the apostle.
Good evening, Dr. Apostle Sylvia Hunter.
Good evening. God bless you.
God bless you. How are you on this great evening?
All is well, woman of God. All is well.
This is Jamaica. I'm calling from Mobile, Alabama.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is also asking you what is in your hand. What is in your hands? This is the thing, y'all. God does not want us to leave anything on the table. Dr. Kimmy Cam, this is for you. God say don't leave nothing on the table. Nothing. Now, don't you? That means do not give them one crumb, $1 over. Don't leave nothing. Take everything that you think you're worth and some. Take it up off the table. Don't leave nothing on the table. Because what has been happening, people of God, y'all, we all, not just y'all, we leave stuff on the table. For an example, somebody owed you $900-something. You just forget it. I'm sick of worrying with them. I'm sick of dealing with them. I just forget it. Baby, you don't leave almost $1,000 on the table. That could pay your car note. That could pay your house note. Go back and get your money. Get your coin. Yeah, I know I can say this because I'm guilty. Because I don't, you know, sometimes I just didn't like controversy. But now, God making us go back and get our stuff from the devil. It ain't his job to keep our stuff hostage like it is. So get your coins. Don't leave nothing on the table. And that's what God is saying. I don't know what it means concerning to you with that, but I heard that. Don't leave nothing on the table.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining me on tonight. God bless you. Have a good evening.
Yes, you do the same.
I accept. Good evening, Carla. You're on the air with the Apostle. The Apostle. Let's try it one more time. Feedback. Good evening, Carla. You're on the air with the Apostle.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, Apostle Dr. Sylvia Hunter, Minister Pam from Fairlane, Alabama. I'd just like to tell you we appreciate all the hard work that you're doing for us, giving us a great word on every Tuesday night, even when you don't feel like it. So we really do appreciate all and everything that you're doing for us, and I really do appreciate that word on tonight. I'm not going to leave anything else on the table. Amen. I've got to go get it.
Amen. 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 That is so true. Forget it. But we, God want to see if, check us out in our obedience. Are we willing to obey? And we have a problem obeying. And another thing we have a problem at, people, is when it doesn't come out the mouth that you think it ought to come out of. So we have delayed obedience. But I'm trying to tell y'all, Moses, just scared, right? So what did God do? He sent, he gave him a translator. Gave him a translator, and he gave him somebody to speak for him. That's what God will do. Amen. He got Aaron, amen, who spoke for him, right? So God will send you, and it's okay for God to send you somebody to help you, to assist you. But they just got to be on the same page. Because when Aaron, you remember when his sister, when they got to talking, when it was her and her little miss, got to talking trash about Moses, what God do? He stripped them. Leprosy she had, she couldn't even go in the city. You know how it was back in those days, especially when a woman was on a cycle, but they had leprosy. So God stripped, stricken them. And sometimes he got to strike us too when we are not doing what he called us to do. And don't, you know, and so he had to put them in their place so that they knew who he was, who he had called to do what job. And that's the thing. Just stay in position, y'all. Because any two time you lose position and you cause yourself to lose rank, you got to start all the way back over. And don't lose position because you want God to bless you right where you are. And I'm excited tonight because God has given all of us so many things to work with. We got a lot of things in our hands. And I think if you would sit down and think about it right now, there are five things, Minister Pam, you could think of that's in your hands that God has given you that you can do, that you can do, that you can use to get you closer to where you want to be. Amen. So we thank God for you being on with us tonight. Enjoy the rest of your evening. God bless you.
Amen. Love you.
Love you more. God bless you. Hallelujah. Y'all better start thinking what's in your hand, about what's in your hand, and stop thinking so shallow. Come on, you people of the kingdom. Kingdom people think kingdom. Hallelujah. They sometimes have to be over there on Mary Had a Little Lamb. It's all right. And we're going to grow from McDonald's, and we're going on to Burger King. Some of you then, you'll be ready for Ruth Chris after all of that. Amen. Hallelujah. Caller, this is the last caller. You're on the air with the Apostle. Well, we praise God. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you. Amen. On that have joined in with us on tonight. I give God glory for you all. I hope that I've spoken something in your spirit this night, tonight, that will make you want to jump, that will make your baby leap, that will make you want to get up and do more. Do more in your houses of God that he's given you. Do more in the kingdom. Amen. Help advance the kingdom. Amen. I hope that you've gotten something that you can apply to your life. It's easy. I just told y'all, look at the gifts and talents that you have. That's applying it. Think about the gift. Apply it. If you got the gift to sing, apply it. If you got the gift to give, apply it. If you got the gift to build, apply it. If you got the gift to decorate, apply it. Where the decorators at? I need some decorators. Amen. I need some carpenters. Amen. I need a lot of things. So if you got your hands in your hands to do, do it. Hands unto the Lord. Amen. So let you people, I thank good people. I thank God each and every one of you. So until next time, the same bad station, same bad time. Y'all meet me here next Tuesday night. If it's the will of the Lord, we shall be here in rare form. Dr. Kimmy Kim, it's been real. Shalom.